Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the 52nd Psalm, and we've looked at the first maybe five verses of it, first half of it or so. Let me go back and reread those, and we'll finish out the rest of the Psalm. Remember, it has a long title. The title is To the Choirmaster, A Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. So that sets the context, and you can read that full account over in, I think, 1 Samuel somewhere, of what happened right here. But it was tremendous evil because there were 70-something, I believe, priests that were killed because of this. So verse 1, David says this, "Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? The steadfast love of God endures all the day. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor. You worker of deceit, you love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking what is right. Selah." So it's a Selah moment right here. Think about this, reflect upon this, contemplate this. Then verse 4, he's still speaking to the wicked. "You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living." Selah. So David is saying, think about that. Reflect on that. Meditate upon that. God is going to do this. He's going to, King James says, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever and shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling places and root thee out of the land of the living." That is just in your face, is it not? What God's going to do to the wicked. Now, verse 6, the righteous, so now David is speaking of the righteous in this psalm. "The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying," so let me pause right here. Verse 6 is changing the focus and direction. Now David says the righteous. He'd been speaking to the wicked. Now the righteous, they will see and they will fear. They're going to see what happens. They see this wickedness. They see what this man of evil is doing. And they're going to fear it. But then they're going to laugh at him. And they're going to laugh at him saying, in verse 7, it's going to tell us what they're going to say. But just think about that. We've seen this in our own lives, have we not? When sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is deride something. It's just laugh at something. Laugh at somebody. Laugh at what they're doing. Look what they're going to say. Verse 7. They're saying this. "See the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction." So they're literally going to say, hey, see this man right here? This is the man who would not make God his refuge, or as King James says, God his strength. But rather than making God his strength and God his refuge, he trusted in the abundance of his riches. I mean, you can point to him. You can point to the person and see the person that has rejected God, but they place their trust in the abundance or the greatness of their wealth. Now, the last part of this phrase is really interesting. What I just read is, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Lexham says it that way too. It says he took refuge in his destructiveness. Well, that's actually a little bit clear, that he took refuge in things that wind up destroying him. New American Standard actually helps us more than any of them. But trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire. Oh, okay. The King James says, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. In other words, he kept doubling down, tripling down in his wickedness. And they're literally laughing at him derisively. Is it derisively? I think it's both. By saying this, see the man right here? He wouldn't take refuge in God. He would not make God his strength. But he trusted in his abundance, trusted in his wealth, and he doubled and tripled down on it, even to the point that it destroyed him. Then verse 8, last two verses here. But, woo, we always look for that word in these type of very strong passages, do we not? The psalmist David says this, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. And we go, what's the deal with a green olive tree? Well, again, the lexicon, I think, helps us here. He says, but I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I go, oh, okay. I was distracted by the green. I mean, is there something like, okay, you got green olives. What was it? No, it's talking about that it's flourishing with produce, with fruit. He says, I'm like this. I'm flourishing in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. Again, King James, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And that mercy is that word that's translated steadfast love, the loyal love of God, or loving kindness. That's the way I'm most familiar with it because the New American Standard always translated that as loving kindness. And it's a great word, but it's actually sort of become archaic even within our use of the term. Okay, but it literally, I love the Lexham translation because it speaks of the loyal love. Yeah, the steadfast love, the love of God that God will never back down, never back away. So David's saying, I trust in the steadfast love of God forever. And then in verse 9, he says, I will thank you forever because you have done it. So you see that David has written this psalm that's to be sung, speaking of the wicked and all they've done. Then he turns around and he says, but God will do this. Okay. But then he says, I am like this. I'm trusting in God. And then he closes it with just a word of thanks and praise to God. And he says, I'm going to thank you forever. Your steadfast love toward me, your loyal love toward me is forever and forever. I will thank you forever. Because you have done it. Because of what? Because of what you have done. Listen to how the ESV says this. I will thank you forever because you have done it, period. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. The godly? King James says, it is good before thy saints. I'm waiting upon you. The lexicon. I wait on your name because it is good in the presence of the faithful one. What David is saying, New American Standard says godly ones. And so it's saints, godly ones, godly, faithful ones. He's saying, I am waiting for your name. The totality, there's that name again. All that is reflective of all that God is reflected in his name and the various ways he reveals that. God, I'm waiting on that because I know it's good. God, you're good. And I'm waiting on that, and I'm waiting on the presence of you and your name in the presence of your faithful ones, of the godly ones. I choose to be with your faithful ones rather than with the wicked who continue to pursue all the things that we've seen in this psalm. It's a great psalm, Psalm 52. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode, guys.